And with Mr. Bricks departing to go produce Game On, we welcome in Mark Graydon, the manager and soccer coordinator of Wolf's Beer Garden on Broadway, and the owner of the Old English Pub, also on Broadway, both great establishments in Albany. You should check them out. Mark, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, sir. Not too bad. I've been providing beer to the masses. It's been good.
Well, and now with the OE, scotch to the masses.
Absolutely.
I think that's important.
And malt liquor, right?
Yes.
All right, and pickleback shots, which I'm still on the fence about.
That other voice you hear is Jeffrey Sandler, the owner and operator of Timmy T's Tasty Cakes and Tea Time. How are you, Jeff? What? Well, you don't like that? Look, last time you were in, I talked at length about Mark's career. I didn't mention yours. You felt a little bad, but I can't mention yours, so I figured I'd make something up for you.
That's actually not bad. I like that.
Mark, you should talk to Matt about that. That should be your next endeavor.
Dr. Sandler's Tea Cakes.
I think it's fantastic. All right. With that out of the... Oh, before we get anywhere else, Mark... I think this is your third appearance on the show, and I think we've proven over those previous two appearances that you are really the royal family spokesperson to the U.S.
Yeah, and I've had a good couple of conversations back and forth. What would you like to know?
I hear there's some kerfuffle with Kate and her wardrobe prices and her cost, and would you like to...
How long were you sitting on the word kerfuffle?
It actually just came to me, but as I was saying it, I was like, man, that works.
That's perfect.
Kerfuffle, that's beautiful. So would you, anything?
At the moment, they're just keeping silent on it, and they're going to release there's a press release coming out later today, which in radio terminology means I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know this?
No, I heard something about Harry and Kate, and I was walking out the door, so I never even...
There's something like, my brother actually gave me this for you. Something like Kate spent like $56,000 or pounds, I don't know, or rubles or whatever it is you guys use over there.
It's pounds. It's always been pounds. It's not like we've been changing denominations.
Why do you guys not use the euro?
Because we're English. We're not European. Or we're British. We're not European. It's a difference. There really is.
Oh. All right.
The Irish jumped on the bandwagon for the euro. It didn't work out well, did it?
Yeah, something like she spent like 56 grand on clothes in like half a year, and I don't know, people are angry apparently.
I don't have a problem with that at all. She gets, they mention her wardrobe like constantly. Yeah. If she was bargain basement shopping, she'd be ripped to shreds. You know, she's setting
Kate
she's
Middleton
setting
of the Salvation Army.
She is, yeah, she's in H&M. She can't be shopping in H&M, you know. And an H&M is a fine establishment. But no, she is setting the standard for the great British woman.
Well, it's kind of the exact opposite of what Rooney has going on. Because they really do just completely criticize her wardrobe all the time, so of course she's going to spend a ton on it. Like Rooney, nobody was talking about his hair until he put 25,000 pounds into
that
it.
That is just terrible.
And it's just...
What's worse, Rooney's hair or Joe Hart not saving Pirlo's free kick or penalty kick?
That's Rooney's hair. It's Rooney's hair. Because you can't blame Joe Hart for that. That's just one in a million.
In case those of you out there don't know, and if you're listening to a podcast segment on Euros 2012, I'm not sure why you wouldn't. But in case you don't know, the England-Italy quarterfinal went to penalties, and Pirlo for Italy put in this very little cheeky little...
It was a deft chip.
That's a nice way to put it.
Okay, you said that you can't fault Joe Hart for that, but... I mean, can't you? Kinda. I was actually very surprised. He was when they went to penalties. He was the thing that I found most surprising, that he didn't seem like he was really prepared for it.
Do you know what's worked against him is the very first penalty. He dived the correct way. He left before the penalty was even kicked, so he's gone perfectly for it, and he still missed it. So what he's saying is, even if a keeper dives early and the penalty kick is taken perfectly, the penalty kick's going to go in.
Oh, yeah.
And so basically, I think the keeper should look back at penalty shootouts, especially Joe Hart, and say, wait for the human error for the kicker. Don't dive early. Mm-hmm. Wait until they take it, then react to the ball.
Well, that's he is so good. I mean, he's arguably the best keeper in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, him and Manuel Neuer, definitely.
Right. Man, you just love the Germans, don't you?
And I don't. You know really? What? It gets far worse. I've got a love fest with the Germans coming up. I really
Thomas
do.
Thomas Müller.
Oh, wow. Do you have some kind of violin music queued up, something later?
We might just start playing, I don't know, just some angry band music with Germans screaming over top of it. That might be it.
So
I think that sums up Germany. Yeah. talking about penalties leads us perfectly into last night's Spain-Portugal semifinal, which I think Spain just slept through.
It was a bore fest.
It was a boring game. Spain, I really think, just slept through the whole game, turned it on in the second extra overtime period, the second half of overtime, turned it on, played well. If they played like that all game, they'd have won. But they won anyway. They go into penalties. They win. Ronaldo doesn't get the kick.
Right. First of all, we have to start off with the fact that Spain, like you can say the English and the Greeks, and they've been defending and play the long ball. It's very boring. It's very this and that. But at the end of the day, Spain have gone the complete opposite way and created a very boring type of soccer. It's like, it's our ball. We're not going to let you play. We're just going to pass it around in the middle. And you know what? We're not even going to try and score. We're not even going to take a shot on goal. We're going to pass. We're going to pass a little bit more, lose the ball, get it back, and do the whole thing again. It is so boring watching the Spanish without a striker.
See, you just said the key point right at the end, without a striker. I think I've always loved watching Spain play. I've always loved it because it's just such a study in like perfection, in possession, and the way they play players into space. The way, you know, they can make a move to get themselves into space. They always play the perfect ball with the perfect touch and the perfect speed. It's a pleasure to watch them play, especially being an American and watching my American national team just bash the ball to people who play these 80-yard balls forward that they don't have strikers with skill to control those balls. So it's a terrible watch. It's always a pleasure to watch Spain. But without a striker, it's like they're trying to do all the things that they normally do, but without a focus point.
Well, it seems to be that their goal at the moment is we're going to get the most possession. Well, no, it's not. The goal is there. It's to score a bloody goal. And all they're doing is like, we're going to get the most possession, and that's it at the moment. And it seemed to be, with the amount of talent they've got, it's frustrating watching it.
Well, that was really set into contrast yesterday. I mean, that's the stark relief there that you could actually see it, because Portugal was the first team that they've really played that truly went after them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the field was actually open. This wasn't some team that was completely bunkering down against Spain, which is what most teams do. And so normally I kind of forgive that style of play, because what else are they supposed to do? If the other team is putting 9-10 guys behind the ball, you're going to have to use your word, matriculate it slowly up the field. and look for, knock off a quick combination, hopefully around the 18, get somebody through, and hopefully that works. But last night in that game, Portugal went after them. Portugal wasn't sitting. Portugal was pressing up the field. Morales was a madman, and not just because of the way he looks.
He really does look like he could just haul off and kill someone at any point.
He's a heroin addict. He looks like a heroin addict.
Actually thought you were saying that as like a fact. Like, we should all know this. Like we should back off of him because he is in fact a heroin addict.
Leave him alone, mate. He's got a problem. No.
I could see that though with the tattoos. It would explain a lot. Thing.
It really would.
He looks like a complete messed up version of the Maroon 5 lead singer.
He does, with like neck tattoos.
Yeah,
and
he's
things?
Like Maroon 5 never made it, and that's what he turned out like. That what's his name? Adam Levine.
I love though that Maroon 5 doesn't make it, so he becomes
Moraes.
Yeah, so he becomes a soccer player on like two world class teams. But to me, and I know that this is weird, and I know I'm biased because I'm a Chelsea fan and my team just laid out £50 million for him.
Oh, God.
I think the Spanish side needs Torres. I think they need Torres to play striker.
I completely agree.
Because they work so well when they're able to manipulate a defense that is set and focused somewhere. It doesn't matter where it's focused, but it's focused. And if they put Torres up front by himself, and a defense focuses in on Torres and says, we're going to deny him the ball, now you can get Iniesta and other guys making runs. And
right, but the problem is that Torres 2012 is not Torres 2008, 2009.
I think he just needs a body.
Do you know what the stupid thing is?
Just anybody.
Yeah.
No, didn't the English try that with Andy Carroll? And it
yeah, but
really?
They're the English. Oh, sorry, Mark. Sorry.
Yeah, oh, no, wow. That's fine. I completely accept all criticism laid upon England at the moment. But the thing with Spain is that they've looked at Torres or even Llorente. I mean, people are bandying around 35 million for Llorente, and they don't think he's good enough to go up front. The 50 million waste that was Torres, they don't want him up front. But because they think they play this possession game, they give the ball to a striker who loses it. So then they have to get the possession back. So they've wasted all that possession. And that seems to be Spain's goal. We're going to possess the ball longer.
I honestly think Torres should just be a 50 million pound decoy. Well, just put him up front, let the defense focus on him, and then you get friggin' Silva and Iniesta and all these guys making runs and crossing, and everybody's...
You don't think anybody's going to figure out that he's just a decoy, that he can't do anything? He seems a lot slower now than he did just 3 years ago. They're playing balls to him that it seems like he should get, and he can't.
Well, why Llorente isn't up front, I have no idea. But whoever's up front, at least they're getting opportunities, even if they're missing them. At the moment, they're really not getting opportunities because every team that's faced them is putting four behind them, and they're just saying, all right, shoot from distance. Xavi won't shoot from distance because he'll look at it as a waste of possession. Iniesta's... occasionally does, but once again they feel like they're giving the ball up.
Yeah.
They sit Fabregas on the bench, so they've got no one taking even pot shots at goal. It's I hate to say it, but the Germans are here to save the world of soccer at the moment. To save the world of international soccer, it's up to the Germans.
Isn't that weird? Germany's here to save Europe.
Germany is here to save Europe. It pretty much is.
But do either of you have a problem with Ronaldo not getting a kick in the penalties?
Yeah. And I think it weirdly mirrors the Champions League final when Robin didn't get the kick.
See, but nobody has a problem with Drogba being the last kick. He was scheduled to be the 10th of 10 kicks, and the only reason no one has a problem with it is because Chelsea got there and he makes the kick. But think about it this way: you want Drogba in that situation because he's standing there with the weight of the world on his shoulders, and there's nobody better on that team. There's no one more equipped on that team to handle that pressure in that spot than Drogba. And I would say the same about Ronaldo.
No, there is a difference between it. Frank Lampard's Chelsea's penalty kick taker always has been. So Drogba takes very few penalties for Chelsea. So you've got your penalty kick taker coming up first. You're saving someone with a mentality for the fifth penalty. I understand that. For Ronaldo and Portugal, it's about we need a penalty goal now. Right. And their penalty goal kick taker is Ronaldo, so he needs to go up there, set an example for the others to go down. And I think Drogba's a different case because Lampard is your penalty kick taker for Chelsea.
Right, and that's why I think that the parallel to the Champions League final isn't with Drogba, it's with Arjen Robben.
Because
admittedly, he had missed a penalty during, I guess it wasn't during regulation, it was actually during the first wasn't it?
But the problem with that was Bayern had five kicks already. Right, Robin was sixth on their list instead of fifth.
Was he even going
to
be
right?
Sixth?
I mean, but Ronaldo was scheduled to take a penalty that should have been taken. I look at this and I say Drogba was scheduled for 10th, and they let David Luiz take a penalty before Drogba. That's yikes. I mean, it's not like Morales was coming up to take the kick instead of Ronaldo. So I see the point, but
what's with all of the defenders taking kicks anyways? Didn't Spain send up two or three defenders yesterday?
I know. Piqué took one. Ramos took one. Ramos with the Pirlo rule.
Huh. Yeah, I mean,
cheeky little chip.
I mean, I got to say, it's bold for a defender to do. It really is. But but yeah, unfortunately, I'm down to with Ronaldo. Once again, he wants to be the star. He wants to be the center. He wants to be the headline.
You think that was his decision?
I actually think it was. I think he probably went, I'll be the fifth penalty taker. Because he wants to be the person standing in the middle of the spotlight. And that's the difference between him and Messi. He wants to be the person who has the spotlight on him. And I think he wanted to be fifth. I really do. And I don't think it benefits the team. You just want to get your best penalty kick takers in there first. Drogba's a different matter. He doesn't often take penalties, Ojo. So for him to be fifth, it never gets old.
It really doesn't. It's so good. I'll stop that before we get into Blue is the Color.
Man, that just it gets it right here.
It does. It's so good. Yeah. Is there any way Italy wins?
No,
I don't. Jeff, more likely an Italy win or Balotelli straight red in the first 10 minutes.
Well. Okay, see, that's not fair. That's just not a fair comparison because when Balotelli's on the field, everything is in play, right? I mean, he could pull a knife on somebody in the middle of the game and we wouldn't be all that surprised.
It's true.
He could start throwing darts at the referee. And, I mean, there is precedent for it.
I almost wish we saw an Italy-Portugal final and then we could see, you know, Morales and Balotelli square off in a who looks more likely to stab someone contest.
A battle of the Mohawks.
So, Italy, Germany. Jeff?
I hate to say it, but the Germans look really freaking good. They look
really freaking good.
They really... Ozil?
Yeah.
He's becoming, like, legitimately one of the most fun players to watch. He's kind of morphing into that David Silva, Pirlo-type role, where he is just creating. He's seeing angles that nobody else is seeing.
Yeah.
And a good thing is, Ozil is more often than not moving forward. And the wonderful thing to see about that is even the superstars in the Pirlo, Iniesta, and Xavi, they're going sideways or back. They to keep possession, they go sideways or back. And Ozil is the only one who's moving possession forward always.
Here's what I love about Mark. He doesn't just jump on a bandwagon. He then proceeds to set fire to all of the other bandwagons. So it's not just that he's gone completely pro-Germany. He's gone anti-everybody else.
Oh, can
you're
you like?
You're not just I've burning England the crops. Look, you're salting the ground.
It's like I said weeks ago, man. I think we're headed to a spot where some newspaper editors in Europe are going to have to be very, very cautious about what they write. Germany careful. Dominates Europe. Whoa, pump your brakes. So Germany beat Spain. You think?
I think Spain are going to win the final.
Whoa.
Against Germany
with Torres, El Nino.
No, they're going to. I don't think Torres is going to get a look in the final.
Torres, 3 goals.
It's going to be a 1-0 absolute
in
board
four
draw.
Seasons at Chelsea.
Well, but who on FIFA that they came up with the idea of let's schedule these games so that one team has 2 more days of rest over the other teams?
Sepp Blatter is against everybody. He's crazy.
That just seems ridiculous to look at that schedule.
Could you imagine the outroar if this, outcry if this was David Stern in the NBA? Conspiracy!
But this is, I mean, because that's one of the things that's really working against Italy.
Italy's completely inappropriate.
Italy's not just worse than Germany. They're coming off of a game that went into overtime penalty kicks and have 2 days of less rest.
Yeah, this one's going to be ugly. We're up against the clock. We'll come back with an outrageous claim.